welcome to the Seeds Church podcast. Be sure to follow and subscribe to us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and on our Apple and Spotify podcasts. We hope you enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday service.
Well, so good to see you, church. It's nice to see your faces. I can't see all those who are online, of course, but man, there's some new beards. There's some young fellas here that have grown about 7 inches. Did you notice the new ritual as you come into the building? Did you notice? I watch you walk through the doors and it's like this. It must be some cleansing motion that you've got going on. Let me pray and we'll see what the Spirit says to us. Father, we do ask that you send your Spirit now. That song is the prayer of our heart. We want to experience you. We don't want your name to be something that we evoke every now and again. We want it to be a moment by moment occurrence. We want to know you deeply. We want to trust you fully. So we throw ourselves into your hands at this moment. All that's gone on for us this week, all the stuff that's taken place, all the issues that have been before us, we bring them here into your presence. Shine your light on us, your people, Lord Jesus. Whether we're here in this particular building, whether we are home, Lord, engage with us. We know that technology and physical distance is no barrier to you. So we claim whatever space we are in as Seeds Church as a sacred holy place. May this be the land of the Holy Spirit. In your name we ask. Amen. Last week we began a series called Momentum, where we are looking at the early church as seen through the book of Acts. Acts is a book that records quite a few adventures of the early church, and it does so for the first few dozen years of the church's life. It was written as a sequel to a guy whose name is Luke, who of course wrote part one of the sequel, Luke, funny enough, and then the book of Acts. And if you didn't know about Luke, the writer of parts of the New Testament, Luke actually wrote the majority, or the biggest part of the New Testament for any writer was written by the writer Luke. Reading all 28 chapters, you can quickly see that the early church had significant momentum. They were going places. Now, it wasn't without struggle, wasn't without trouble, wasn't without particular issues that they had, but they were seeking to live out in the context where they were, what God was doing through them and in them. And so you can just look between the pages, or look at the pages, in fact, you don't even need to look between the lines, and see that people were being freed from their bondages, were coming to know what God wanted for them, that good news was being shared, and that people were having a change in their eternal destiny. This church is having a period of momentum as well. Things are running our way and we are going somewhere. It's certainly not always easy, for sure, but God is using us and God is constantly and continually positioning us for His glory in this place. And it's on my heart at this moment to continue to move us into a spot where God can use us even more. And there's a preparation time right at hand at this very moment. Last week, we had a detailed look at Matthew 28, where Jesus asks His disciples to go. And He does so for two reasons. One is because He is always with them, and then because He has authority. And so last week, I led us to a point where we heard Jesus' particular command of the church. And while there were many things that He wants His church to do, the main thrust of that is that His church would go. And I explained how you cannot misinterpret this word. This is not a static word. This is a propelling forward momentum word. It is to go and to keep on going. Somehow, the church has interpreted that as stop, stay still, remain, procrastinate. Probably for me, up until around about the turn of the millennium, some of you would remember that, the Y2K bug and all that sort of stuff that never eventuated. No one ever prophesied a COVID pandemic. Anyway, that's beside the point. I used to be a classic procrastinator. Does anybody else here procrastinate? You're going to think about it before you. Do put your hand up tomorrow. Yep. And I remember the time. I remember the time when it was when I walked into a particular event where I was a procrastinator, and an hour later or an hour and a quarter later, I walked out and I was not a procrastinator. For me, if I could put it off till next week or till the month after, I would always do that. And walking into this event, I was a procrastinator, and walking out, I wasn't. Do you know what it was? I actually took my first funeral. And I realised, oh my goodness, there is an end point to our lives. Now, I knew that. I knew it, but all of a sudden I knew it. Are you with me? And I knew it. And I realised life is a gift. It is a gift. And life as we know it at this particular point in time, with this expression of it, will run out. And I went, I will not waste a minute of that since. I've got a lot of sleeping to catch up on when I get to heaven, but we'll do that in heaven. The church has been given a gift. We have a beautiful, wonderful, extraordinary gift. And I, for one, as senior pastor of this church, will not let us waste that gift that we have. We will not procrastinate as a church. We have been given resources to maximize our shared life. These are resources to go, not to remain and not to stay. Procrastination for the church, since Jesus says go, is off the agenda forever. We are to follow in God's footsteps and God's timing. So in regards to last week, I encourage you, if you want to hear it again, or you want to hear it for the first time, get online to our YouTube page and you'll be able to recap that service and that sermon. Today's reading, commonly called the Day of Pentecost, it's the time when we read about the Spirit being given to the church. And so Jesus has asked his disciples to be in a certain place and a certain time for a reason, and to wait for the gift that the Father had promised them. And boy, did they get a gift or what? So here comes the energy to do what Jesus had asked them to do. Here comes the empowerment to do what Jesus had asked them to do. Here comes the enabling for the church to go. And so there are only 2 points that I want to make in this sermon this morning. Last week I had 4, so you're only getting half your money's worth today. So here we go. So 2 points, if you're taking notes, here is the first one. When Jesus asks the church to go, he gives the church the tools to do it. Do you believe that? It's good. I listened to that Baptist preacher a couple of weeks ago and I'm still in my head. So come on, you've got to give me some feedback if you want me to preach. Okay, when Jesus asks the church to go, he gives the tools to do so. I encourage you then to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. That's where we're going to sit with for a little while, Acts chapter 2. And you heard the reading from Wendy. It's one of those really hard readings that everybody read or they get some shudders when they do it. It's all the, you know, the cappuccinos and all the other, the Elamites and the Bidimites and all those other bits and pieces. Okay, the disciples were gathered in an upstairs room waiting. It's a little bit strange when you think about that. We've got 2 contradictory commands from the lips of Jesus. Jesus says, go. Then he says, hang on a minute, wait. You can be confused unless we realised that they were to wait for the power that enabled them to go. Jesus knew what he was doing, and he knew in their own strength, if they went and tried to fulfil his command that he had given them, that they would fail. And then they would become discouraged. And in the end, they'd give up. And Jesus also knew that God's timing is perfect. They were to wait for the go, to wait for the power, for the resources to achieve the mission that God had for them. You know, I read that and I realize my role is to wait for God's timing. Because God's timing is perfect. It's not for me to attempt to achieve things in my own strength, but to wait on God so that I am in the center of His will and using the resources and the pathways that God so easily and lovingly provides. Too many times I jump ahead and then I fall flat on my face. And the same often, too many times I lag behind and I'm not kept up with what God's doing in the world around me. I wonder about you. Are you aware of God's timing for your life at this particular moment? Have you waited in a spot for God to speak to you, to empower you, to give you what you need to accomplish the task that He has for you? Waiting for God's timing is crucial. And this is the same individually as it is for us as a corporate, as a church. And when I say church, I mean all those who are here. So the description of church has really expanded in the last, you know, 5 months, 6 months, hasn't it? All those who are here and all those who are watching us online are part of Seeds Church. I'm claiming you as part of Seeds Church. I believe, this is honest, I believe God is speaking to us at this particular moment, and the word go is significant. Let me go back to the disciples. Now, I don't know what they were doing in that room. Later, we find that the disciples made a habit of gathering together to pray. Maybe they were doing that, just waiting. Certainly, they weren't watching Netflix because it hadn't been invented. And here's a really bad dad joke. They weren't relying on the spider to provide them the internet because he was too slow at making the web. If you've got any better ones in internet land, send them to me, please. Whatever the case, there were three things that happened to them. Firstly, they heard the considerable sound of something like the movement of wind. Secondly, they saw something like tongues of fire on the heads. And thirdly, they were able to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. In other words, they heard, they saw, and they did. I think it's significant that they could perceive the work of the Spirit amongst them because it was so obvious. It wasn't just a few super spiritual disciples got this and the rest missed out. No, it was all of them included. There's some debate as to how many disciples were actually in the room. Was it the 11 or that became the 12? Or was it 120? Whatever it was, they all got the gifts of the Spirit. The most important aspect of this is that God was at work in them. It was a gift for them. This came to them. It was provided for them. Verse 4, all of them. Notice that? All of them. We've got to take careful note of these words that are used in the Scriptures. All of them, not some of them, were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues and other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, don't get hung up on the speaking of tongues, but rather focus more on the gift of the Spirit at this moment. Obviously, later on, there were many other gifts given to disciples, and others got different fillings and different types of gifts from the Spirit. And it was obvious that irrespective of nationality, or race, or age, or location, everybody got the filling of the Spirit. The day of the Spirit had arrived. So here's the bit that I want you to grasp, because it has meaning for us, as I'll unpack in a moment. The Spirit was working in them. It is a truism to say that up until this point, the Spirit had worked on them. And then at this point, the Spirit works in them. It's an interesting thing to think of. In the Old Testament, the Spirit worked on people. In the New Testament, with the coming of the Spirit works in people. This is what I want to unpack for you. The tools they got, the gifts that they were given. I mean, how good is it that God gives you gifts? I mean, Christmas every day. Oh, it's extraordinary, isn't it? Wonderful gifts. The tools, the gifts that they were given were distinctly personal for them. Exactly right for what they needed, perfectly fitted for who they were. They could hear the Spirit's movement, they could see the Spirit's activity, and the Spirit did something inside of them. So let me ask you then, as modern day disciples, are you in a place where you can perceive the Spirit's work? Can you hear it, particularly in your soul? Can you see it, even if it's with the eyes of faith? Is the Spirit doing something inside of you? Is there an outworking in your life? I don't know if you remember last year, I think I made up a word. The word was überfluden. Some of you remember that? Some of you online will remember that. It was meant to be that, it's supposedly, I thought it was a Swedish word, which I've made up a Swedish word, that meant that when your toilet runs over, it's... You call the plumber and go, it's überfluden. Okay, so it's running over. When the Spirit does something inside of you, it's überfluden. I'm just making this word up. So it sounds good, doesn't it? This is not an ancient story. This is not a story that we celebrate 50 days after Easter, which is not today, by the way, just in case it was some months ago, okay, where we did actually celebrate it. This is not dusty history that we look in antiquity and go, that's nice for them, wasn't it? This is a story that tells a truth that applies today to us, to all of us. Those disciples are typical of all those who come afterwards, and the last time I checked, that was you lot. Those disciples are us. The Spirit comes to us and gives us gifts. And just like Jesus speaking the words of the Great Commission, Jesus gives us the energy and the power and the drive to undertake the task that he has for us. These are gifts to go, gifts to move, gifts to reverse the inertia of procrastination, but to take us somewhere. Now, some of us would love to take that option right at this moment to be filled with the Spirit. And often, whenever anybody says, would you like to be filled with the Spirit? I say, yes, please, because I know I have lots of holes in me and I leak and I need to be filled and refilled with the Spirit. Some of us would love to take the option to have the gifts and the filling of the Holy Spirit, the energy of the Spirit. And so today, at the end of the service, just very gently, I'm going to pray a prayer asking for God's, if you want it, for God's filling on your life, whether you're here or whether you're online watching this even later. I don't believe there's any barrier to what the Spirit can do, whether it's here in person or whether it's online. God's still God. God's God of everything. Now, I'm sure there's some here and some watching that would love to be filled anew even at this moment. But let me be honest, because some of you actually need, first of all, to find the place where the Spirit can speak to you. Some of our lives are so cluttered and so full, we can't hear the Spirit move. Some of us need to find the place that Jesus wants us to go to so that he can do his redemptive work in us. And so if that's you, I encourage you to make that a priority, even in these next few moments as I'm preaching before I lead us towards the end of the service. To be humble before God, to wait expectantly for God to come even to us. I am convinced more than ever, and I've got a heightened awareness of this at this moment, that God wants to bring a fresh experience of his Spirit to his church and this church in particular. My second point. Those around the disciples noticed what was going on. That while the disciples got the tools to do the task, those around the disciples could see it happening. Look with me at verse 5 and 6. Now there were standing in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their language, their own language being spoken. You see, that's, I mean, it's simple, isn't it? There was a crowd gathered because something was taking place in that room. They couldn't help it but notice that God was up to something. It was unusual, it was out of the ordinary, and they'd not seen it before, and it had drawn their attention. Our attention is often drawn because there are things that are out of the ordinary but largely scandalous. While most of us, please read between the lines here, while most of us don't like certain political figures, we are drawn to watching him because they're going to say something stupid or bizarre. And we sort of got this morbid fascination of what is going to happen next, that it's going to be cannon fodder for our next coffee with our friends. But that's not what was going on here, because when God moves, good things happen. And it resonates deeply with us. It's attractive, just like it is at this very moment when the Spirit moves. When God moves, people notice. So here's the kicker. When God moves in you, people will notice. When God moves in you, people will notice. We need to remind ourselves again and again that we do not have a private faith, do we? It's not to be hidden away and bundled up and let loose on a Sunday and then shut down on a Monday, is it? No. When God moves, people notice. We need to let our light shine. A work of God in your life will naturally be overflowing, won't it? You're not going to forget that word, are you? So God had already been working the lives of those who were around the room, and they were open to the work of God for them. In fact, that's the reason they were there. God-fearing Jews gathered at that time to worship God. They knew there was something going on. They had a sense of the spirituality, their sense of the Spirit, and all of a sudden God answered their sense. And he says, here I am. Here I am, ready or not. God doesn't let us down when we've got anticipation. I am totally convinced that far more times than we perceive it, God has gone before us and prepared the way. At the same time that God was working in the lives of the disciples, God was working in the lives of those who were yet to find the fullness of reality of who he was. Yet they had hunger, and so he fed that hunger with his grace through the power of his Holy Spirit. And he still does the same even at this moment. Think about your life. Just when you were wondering about something, you had a need about something, there was a hurt in your life or an issue going on, how many times has that been resolved or answered? More times than you care to remember. I tell you why I know that. I keep a journal. I write all your names. No, I don't. I write down in my journal what I'm reflecting on the scriptures and some prayer things that I'm struggling with. And some of your names do find their way in there, because I'm concerned for you. I'm writing your names down and I'm praying for it and I'm struggling with it and I'm bringing it before the Lord in prayer in my own particular ways. And then what I do, I write that date down and I've got a bookmark in there, and I've got a bookmark in where last year was and a bookmark in where the year was before and the year was before, and I've got quite a few bookmarks going back there now. And I flick through. Do you know how many times I prayed for somebody's relationship, or an issue going on in somebody's life, or a pregnancy, or a, I don't know, a whole pile of different sorts of things, and God resolves them again and again. It's not my prayers, it's the faithfulness of God, isn't it? You know, when you're a believer, coincidences seem to happen a lot. Don't you believe me? Do you notice, too, the result of the Spirit's work in disciples' lives? Read with me verses 6 to 8. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't these who are speaking Galileans? How then is it that each of us hears them in our own native language?" This is the point. The work that God was doing in the lives of the disciples was shaped to suit what they needed. In other words, the tools they got were perfectly fitted for the context. This is what God is doing in your life. When you are in the spot that Spirit can speak to you and then work in you, you are shaped for service in God's kingdom. You get the gifts and the graces that change you but impact the others around you. We need to be confident in this. We need to be assured in this. God is leading and preparing and equipping us. When there's an opportunity in front of you, and you know it, you know when there's an opportunity to share faith or to be faith or to be strong for somebody else or to be caring for someone else, and you know that, when you get that opportunity to do that, remember this moment. Remember the day of Pentecost. Remember the Spirit was giving bespoke gifts to the individuals so that they could have a step by faith and do exactly what God wants them to do. When you get that chance, and you're sitting there and you're standing there and you're going, do I step into that? I encourage you, take a step of faith and see what God does. Odds on, He's prepared you and He's prepared them. And it's a meeting of two holy things together. I want to say to you again, don't be hung up on the gifts of tongues. Some people get the gifts of tongue. That's fantastic. Don't let that be a barrier to you. This was a gift for the exact moment that God was using to share the good news. But if you read on further, it's not only the gift that God got. It's not only that gift. There are other gifts that God gives with the gift of the Spirit. There are many gifts for the whole church, and they're all here. So let me give you the crux of what this means for today. The Spirit continues to come to you to give you the gifts from God. And I know there are many here and online who are wanting those gifts. So if you're serious about this, and I'm going to pray for this in a moment, but it will require you to do some personal work yourself. If you're serious about this, I challenge you this week to put aside some time to make space to hear the Spirit's voice so that you can be in the place that God can speak to you. Can I challenge you this week to turn some things off so that you've got room? Can I challenge you this week to get up a little bit earlier so that the Spirit has got room? Can I challenge you this week to not think so much about yourself so that the Spirit's got room to speak to you? But there's the biggest challenge of all. God gives good gifts, yes, that bless and enhance our lives, yes, but these are not for ourselves. It's not for self-edification or self-realization. It is to bless the world. It is to fulfill the command that Jesus says, go. This morning, I came out early into our lounge room. And in our lounge room, we had this most wonderful device. It's not a coffee machine. It's this black box. It's about this big. It's a wood heater. But it was black this morning. The glass was all black. For all intents and purposes, you could think, if you looked at it, that there was nothing taking place, that there was nothing happening, that it was all over. But I know this little trick, and it's got this little bit on the side, and if I just pull it out about 20 mil, nearly an inch, it allows some air into it. And within about 20 seconds of allowing just a half the amount of air that it can have into it, guess what happens? It's starting to glow red. If I pull it right out, it's drawing in more air. And it's not just glowing red, it is red. And it's just incredible. I did that this morning, and then it's got a little fan on the side, more air, more wind. I turn that on. This black thing goes from being black to red to delivering winter wonderful warmness. And all the cats are around there because they know exactly what's going on. And then some hours later, all the kids were there because they know what's going on as well. It's beautiful. I really wonder if we are a lot like that black box. There is stuff going on inside, but we need some air to draw in there and to enlighten us and enliven us and to bring us to life. Would you stand with me? Would you stand, even if you're at home, would you stand with me? I want to lead you in prayer. A prayer of allowing air to come in your life. I'm going to ask you if you can stand and keep your balance to close your eyes. And if you're really serious about making space for the Spirit in your life, would you put your hands out as a sign of I want to keep what you give me, God. Lord, you do give us good gifts. We love you to come to our life and our church's life and our corporate life and pull open that little lever that allows your Spirit, the air, to come in and to kindle the fire that's inside of us that we know. We know you are real. We know you are true. We know you have good gifts for us, but we want to be alive for you. We want to be alive in ourselves because we know you've made us for more. We want to be alive for the world around us so that we can go in your power, with your dunamos, with your explosive power to make good changes for this world, to wreak good things that others might notice. So I pray for my friends here this moment, those who are physically with me, those who are online with me, Lord Jesus. I pray for a fresh falling of your Spirit upon them. Jesus, would you do a beautiful thing? Would you give good gifts to your children? We're hungry for you. Would you give some here and some online, all those listening, would you give some of them the gift of tongues? Would you give some of them the gift of healing? Some prophetic word, some the gift of help, some the gift of generosity. Lord, would you give more the gift of evangelism to share good news to your world? Lord, we wait here expectant. In your time, when your timing is right, bless your church, this church, Seeds Church, with the gifts of your Spirit, that we might do what you have commanded us to do, that we might go in your name, empowered by you. And we pray this in faith, knowing that when the time is right, you bring about this. And we say, thank you, Jesus. Seal it all in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening to the Seeds Church podcast. We hope you join in with us next week. For more information, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org.